Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on 2 days in the life of Jesus was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. And now, here's Andrew.
Brothers and sisters, you don't have to go through this. Jamie and I, since the recession hit, have made 61% profit in the stock market. It's gone down 50%, and we've made 61% profit. Somebody may say, how do you do that? Who's your broker? It's God. I'm just saying that, you know what? We need to not be afraid to be different and do something different than everybody else. Peter could have just sat there in the boat and have hung on to the security of that boat, and yet it was sinking. And I'm sure all of the other apostles thought, you're crazy to get out of this boat. They were drowning. And yet they're calling him crazy. Tell me who's crazy. Man, if you want to walk on the water, you're going to have to get out of the boat. And yet everybody's afraid to get out of the boat. Everybody's afraid to do anything different. We want to be just like everybody else and be accepted. I'm telling you, if you are going to see the supernatural power of God in your life, somebody is going to consider you weird. Somebody is going to look at you and you're going to be criticized. It'll cost you family. And you know, God will bring things around. My family thought that I actually went insane. But you know, now my family is all on my side and they are... My mother, it was just amazing how she came around and supported me. And it took 20 years, but you know what? It worked. God will pull you through if you can stay in the pool. It'll work. But you got to do something different. If you want different results, do something different. And yet everybody is so pressed and conformed to this world. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word conform there means don't be poured into the mold of this world. Did you know life melts you? Life is melting every one of us. You can't just stay the same. You are going to change. But the good news is you get to pick the mold that you fit into. You can't keep from being melted, but you can pick the mold. You can choose to be a fanatic. You can choose to believe God, or you can choose to be like everybody else. Man, people criticize Peter and they say, yeah, he began to sink. But he's the only other person besides Jesus that ever walked on the water. Say what you want to, Peter walked on the water. Peter was impetuous. He was always spouting off and saying something and sticking his foot in his mouth. Sometimes the only time he ever opened his mouth was to change feet. But you know what? Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. You know, I've had friends before that I've had people say, tell this person to stop doing this and stop doing this. And I said, you know what? There are liabilities that go along with people that there is no filter between their brain and their mouth. But at the same time, some of those people that just are quick to do things, they're the kind that God uses because they're the only kind that'll get out there and take a risk. Most of us are playing it so safe that nothing ever happens. There is risk to walking in the miraculous. And I'm just telling you, brothers and sisters, most of us are playing it too safe. Peter was one of those that says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come unto you on the water. Now, you need to temper that with a little bit of wisdom. Because let me ask you this. What would have happened if Peter would have said, Lord, do you want me to come on the water? Lord, is my faith up to walking on the water? Is this your will for me to walk on the water? He might have got a different answer, but he says, if it's you, bid me come unto you on the water. What was the Lord going to say? Don't come because it's not me. It was him. And so the way that he asked this question, there was nothing that the Lord could do except say, come. Amen. You know, I learned a long time ago that you need to be careful how you ask questions. When I was in the Baptist church, You know, I was excited, and every time I opened my mouth and began to talk about what God was showing me, I was shot down and told I was of the devil, and then speaking in tongues is of the devil, and I was criticized, and it warred on my faith. And I tell you, I came close to being snuffed out by all of the criticism and stuff. And finally, it got so bad that I started praying, God, do you want me to leave the Baptist church? Don't you love the Baptist? Do you just want the Baptist to go to hell? Don't you care about them? Now, how is God going to answer a prayer like that? Say, yes, I leave because I don't care about the Baptist. I don't love them. Let them all go to hell. No, he wasn't going to say that. The way I asked that question, there was no option but for the Lord to say to me, stay, because he did love the Baptist. And the way I asked that question, it didn't leave him any options. If I would have said, Lord, do you want me to be in here? I believe he'd have said, go. And finally, it got so bad. I was sitting in a church service and they were countering everything and preaching wrath and condemnation. And I believe that the pastor was specifically trying to put me in my place in front of all of those people. And I had my Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And I was praying in tongues under my breath, trying to keep my nose above water, keep from drowning in the unbelief. And I remember sitting in that church service and finally saying, God, do you want me to stay here? And I didn't put all these other conditions on it. And I mean, it was nearly an audible voice. No, leave. Amen. First time I asked that way, he said, leave. And I got out, and praise God, it was good. And I went on, and I'm ministering to more Baptists today than I ever would have ministered to if I'd have stayed in that little church and had drowned with them. So anyway, it's important how you ask your question. But Peter, because of the way he asked it, he wanted to get out there. If Jesus could do it, he wanted to do it. You know, that's kind of a good attitude. We were in South Africa not long ago. That's where Carlin has a Bible school down there in Heidelberg, South Africa. And I was there last year. And we interviewed a couple. I forget their names right now. But a South African couple who saw my DVDs of Hannah's story and all of these that we were talking about tonight. They saw those and they looked at that and they said, why can't we do that? They saw people that were getting changed and miracles were happening, and they said, why can't we do that? And based on that one thing, they decided that they were going to start praying for people. And at that time, that was a year ago, they had over 700 people who had been born again. They had, 50 teams that they had sent out, and they had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people healed, blind eyes open, deaf ears open, and miraculous things happening because somebody saw another person's testimony and they said, why can't we do that? And they just decided they'd get out of the boat and start doing it. And you know what? They were just lay people in the church. They weren't full-time ministers. And they started seeing so much results that their pastor has now ordained them, given them a ministry. And they have their own ministry going, and they're full-time, and they're just seeing awesome things happen. Some of my staff left to go over to Durban, South Africa, and help them in their ministry. And man, they are seeing thousands of people's lives change because they saw a testimony, and they said, why can't we do that? In a sense, that's what Peter was doing. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water. Man, he thought, well, if Jesus can do this, I can do this. Lord, if it's you, bid me come unto you on the water. You know, you ought to get that attitude. You ought to read the testimonies of people. You ought to read what's going on in the Bible. And you say, the Bible says, the works that I do shall you do also. And it is beneficial to have a holy dissatisfaction with being normal. You ought to get to a place to, God, why can't we do that? Why don't we see the blind eyes open? Why don't we see deaf ears open? Why don't we see miracles happen? You ought to be discontent with just drowning in the boat and being like everybody else and afraid to leave the security of it. There's a lot of people that criticize me because I talk about that God has given us power and we can command the power of God. And you know what? When you start taking that attitude, it's risky. It's a lot easier to just say, Lord, if it be your will, heal this person. And if they get healed, then you say, thank you, Jesus. And if they die, well, it must be God's will. God works in mysterious ways. It's a chicken way out. It's a simple way of living. Just pray and say, oh, God, we have nothing. We can do nothing. We are nothing without you. Somebody says, well, isn't that true? Well, yeah, it's true that without him, we can do nothing. But it's untrue that I am without him. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. So you shouldn't be praying that way and saying, oh, Lord, we are nothing and we have nothing. You ought to come and say, thank you, Father, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. And therefore, I am going to start praying for people. And I'm going to start seeing the same works that Jesus did, I'm going to do also. You're going to have to get out of the boat. You're going to have to be different than somebody else to see the miraculous power of God work. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're listening. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, most of us are just shooting at nothing and hitting it every time. We need to raise the standard. You ought to get dissatisfied with just being normal. You know, I can stand persecution. I've had a lot of persecution. I can stand being persecuted. You know what I can't stand is being ignored. If you're being ignored, it's because you aren't operating in the power of the Holy Ghost. Everywhere that Jesus went, he had a revival or a riot, but never indifference. Man, when Jesus showed up, the demons cried out. The demons started leaving. But I guarantee you, Jesus made a difference. I can stand rejection. I can stand persecution, but man, I can't stand people just ignoring me. That means I'm not operating in the power of God. You should get to a place to where you make a difference. When you go to work, people ought to know that you're a Christian. People ought to know that something's different.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on 2 days in the life of Jesus. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM240C for CD or RM240D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third CD when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
I'd like to encourage you to become a part of what God is doing here in Colorado Springs. This is where we're training our Bible college students, and they are literally going around the world. I'm convinced that this is how God has ordained that we change the body of Christ, is through discipleship, and that's what we're doing. We're building a headquarters where we can have a campus with 3,000 students. And to do that, it just takes a lot of money. God has supplied us with a beautiful acreage in Woodland Park that we're calling the Sanctuary. And we're calling the people who help us accomplish this project and raise up a first-class Bible college campus, our foundation builders. I ask you to pray about it and then call and become a foundation builder today.